Welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast focused on spiritual warfare. This is special edition Battle Plan for Broken Families. At Active Faith, we strive to expel evil, reclaim the land, and heal the soul, all through the Word of God. If you would like to learn more about Active Faith, you can find us at active-faith.org. I am Dr. Charlie, and here on Battle Plan for Broken Families today, I have a very special guest, my friend, Pastor Dr. Dwayne Bilderback from Amarillo, Texas. I am so glad to have you, Pastor Dwayne. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Look forward to our session tonight.
I have known Pastor Dwayne for several years. I had the pleasure of meeting him when I went and helped he and a large group of people from Amarillo State, the city of Amarillo, and it was a very exciting event, and I think very fortuitous for the people of Amarillo. We've had quite a few testimonies come out of that experience, and I just love it when God does that and when he brings his people together. Now, everybody's going to think, oh, just another Texan. But what they don't realize is that we're on literal opposite sides of the state. So it's like from Texas to Mississippi. It skips Louisiana and just goes to Mississippi, maybe even parts of Alabama. Like, that's how far apart we are. And so I'm far Eastern and he's Western. But that's okay. That's okay. We are children of God, and I'm really excited. So we're going to take a little bit different turn in our conversations for a while. Pastor Dwayne has a beautiful family, and I'm going to let him tell you about it in just a minute. But we're going to be focusing on, in our discussions today, what it's like to have estranged adult children. And Pastor Dwayne, I don't know about you, but one of the reasons I asked you to come and talk about this topic is because I'm seeing it more and more in the body of Christ. We have families who are raising their children in church. They're raising them in the Word, or maybe not, but something happens when those children become adults and suddenly the children just cut their parents off. And it is extremely painful because Pastor Dwayne and I are both we're grandparents. And so we waited around for those grandkids for quite a while, right?
Oh, yeah.
But truly, I mean, it's just really hard. It's really hard. And so we want to talk to those families today. So Pastor Dwayne, can you tell us a little bit about your family?
Certainly. Well, my wife and I, we've been married for 41 years this year.
And her name is Rose.
Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And so we weren't able to have children. So after years of trying, it got called to the ministry. And then that's when God opened the segue for us to adopt a set of 22-month-old twins, boys, our oldest, who are now almost 31 years old. And so, of course, they were raised in church. They saw the good and sometimes the not so good of the church ministry side. And, you know, they always aspired and really had dreams of following into ministry. We came back to Amarillo on a ministry call, and my wife Rose went through an abrupt diagnosis of ovarian cancer, radical surgery, 9 months of treatment. And then we got, well, let me digress a second. We had started trying to become foster parents, foster to adopt. And so just as we were ready to have a placement is whenever that diagnosis came about. And so 9 months of you know, cancer treatment, radical surgery, all this. Finally, she got cleared by the doctor, and the CPS called and said, hey, we have this little boy that we would like to place with you. And they brought him over and told us his case history, which is pretty gloomy at the time. But we said, oh, for sure we'll take him. And it was looking back a few, about a year later, we saw that it was exactly 9 months that she had gone through the diagnosis, treatments cleared, to when we were placed with our youngest, Jadon. And that was no coincidence. That was
Right.
our time of being pregnant in the spirit and God rewarding for the work that we've been doing. So we raised them. They participated in the ministry with us for years and years. First, teenagers develop a mindset of their own. society has a way ingrained in them with all kinds of philosophies and questions. And so by the time my older kids, grew up, they were one of them left before he even graduated high school. He was done with it. But that started the breaking away process. And that was in 2013 is whenever it actually began. And so, but so in that time was blessed with five, well, one grandson and four beautiful granddaughters that we cherish and were able to see for a couple of years because they needed mom and dad. But then things worsened when we were kind of given an ultimatum.
Right.
That
That
kind of,
those are hard.
yeah. And we had helped them, provided for them in and out of our home whenever they could, and came down to one day where I guess it's okay to go ahead and segue into that part of it, right?
Yeah, and so I just want to stress that it wasn't just your child, it's your child, their spouse, and your grandchildren.
Yes.
And it there the separation starts. So, man, that was hard.
Yeah, and literally I had one of them living with me and gave Rose the ultimatum, said, "Well, if you don't choose me over your God, then you'll never see your grandson." And at that time, our grandson meant everything to us, so it was a challenge. And it was like, excuse me, let's make sure you were hearing this correctly, but you say it's choose your God. So, well, there's no question, you might as well pack your stuff and move out because we're not going to choose you over God."
Did you recognize that as persecution?
And that's one thing that he had been doing for several months, just kind of blasting God on social media, and we were kind of coming to a head with it. Because he was living with us, and we were providing everything from food, shelter, gas for his car while he was in transition, taking care of. He never, they weren't married. He and his girlfriend weren't married, and then they separated because of it. And so we were providing a lot of resources, and he was bashing the God who was supplying those. And when he gave that ultimatum, it was like, okay, you gonna come at us like that, devil?
Right.
And so it was hard. We could have caved. We could have said, it's not that. We could have made it mild and just sloughed it off. But it was like, no, we saw it as a direct attack of Satan working
Yeah.
through
But when it is your child,
him.
I can imagine that the spirit and the flesh battle.
Yeah, our hearts were torn. We grieved as though he had died because he cut us off and then told his girlfriend or the mother of our grandchild not to let us have anything to do with our grandson. And so that went on for a while. And then there was more relationships that he was involved in and produced two more children. And so we weren't able to see them because of the same adverse situation
Right.
with our son. And
Right.
your heart just gets torn because you feel like you're suffering for your belief in Christ, And
Yeah.
things that you would treasure in your heart. Of course, if I knew grandchildren were going to be so great, I'd have had them first and just skip right to the cookies, you know?
Right.
But it was one of those things where we knew we were being challenged in our faith. And so you go through a range of emotions with it.
Which
Things with
times
it.
were the hardest? Like, was it holidays or was it birthdays or just
Yeah,
random days?
there was a, you know, there were times because they needed stuff that they would, you know, want to do the holidays. So, like I say, it kind of progressed from 2013, but there was a couple of years where we were able to have them all at the house and enjoy that because we were providing all the gifts for them. And whenever that ultimatum came down, it was like, okay. Yeah, holidays. We're big on family get-togethers. We bought a
Yeah.
big table for the whole reason of having, you know, 12 people around the table. And that was the hardest one. Especially and for Mother's Day and Father's Day, Grandparents' Day, you know, those special days were, you know, we felt like we were not only excommunicated, but we felt like we were being condemned because of the fact that we chose a God that you can't see over children that you can hug.
Right. So I'm curious. I would love to hear your discussion on this because I've been in similar shoes, and there have been times when Mother's Day was very painful or Father's Day was very disappointing. And at some point it hit me, and I can't place a date or a year or anything like that, but it hit me. Those were man-made holidays. They literally are a marketing scheme. I mean, I'm not saying that mothers should not be honored and fathers should not be honored. That is very biblical. But it hasn't historically been forever on the calendar at the same time. And that is something that our culture has done. And when I started looking at it like that, and I started thinking, okay, I get to choose. Is this part of my culture I want to embrace? Or is this a part of my culture that I'm gonna shrug at and say, well, my day will be a day that's different, and it'll just be the day that Mama Charlie gets a day, and it's all my own.
Right.
I mean, did you ever think about those things? Did it not play in? I mean, that's not like a criticism, it's just a contemplation.
Yeah, I think what we had to do is work through that, you know, even though we had those special thoughts and times, that it was the everyday that we missed.
Yeah.
And, you know, just being able to pick up a phone call, the mother or whatever, and say, hey, we want to take the girls to ice cream or want to take them
Right.
fishing or something like that, you
Yeah,
know.
just the little things.
And so, yeah, we had to come, you know, really had to come to a realization of a lot of things as far as what was missing, what was important about this situation. And
Yeah. And so I'm so in awe of the fact that you and Rose, because I know you and Rose and I know your heart, and you are just in ministry. You're always serving. You're always out there. You love the least of these. You're evangelizing. I mean, that's just your DNA. That's who you guys are. And you're a pastor. And so when we look at situations like this, we automatically think, well, what did those parents do? Right? I mean,
sure.
as just as society, we kind of play the blame game, like, okay, who's responsible? And I think that the truth of the matter is that it's not just happening to families who are, in divorce or who have had addiction or alcoholism or whatever bad thing you can name. I think that it's just an enemy who values the fact that he can break up families
Sure.
because he knows how much God loves the family unit, how much stems on the family unit scripturally. And so I think he's just looking for every chance he can. And correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Dwayne, but it seems to me that these separations, these estrangements, always start with offense.
Yeah. And so I know that I can track it back in my children, and even recently through some of our now reunified
Right.
conversations.
So we're going to get to that in a minute because now you're
Right.
reunified. Yes. Okay. So that's the
And
teaser, but we're not going to go there quite yet.
so we track it back, and some of the offense was toward me for not standing up for our family in times when, unfortunately, the church was doing some things towards us,
Yeah.
and blaming us for things. And even more so, I found a letter. So we were kind of putting some new pictures up, but I found a letter that my son had written before he moved out in 2013 before graduating. And it was in reference to the God's Not Dead movie, but he was offended at God. He was offended at the church. He's offended at God because his birth mom died when they were 22 months old. That's how we came into possession of him. He was offended at God because Rose had to go through that horrendous spell with her own cancer and they not knowing if she would live or die. And he was offended at the church because the church that we were serving at that time, I think we were pastoring 125 people and it went to 12. He saw everybody leave in a time when we were needing them. And he wrote that out in this letter. I wadded it up, thought it in the trash, and Rose saw it and she plucked it out and she said, "What is it?" So it was a letter Michael wrote about why he doesn't believe God. But she read it and we both cried together because we could see the offense. And that's one of the things that happens is people get offended and it's impossible that offenses come, but sometimes we may or may not know how to deal with them at the time when they happen. And, then that's when other emotions can come up because, at first we felt a little bit of guilt and blame for not being able to recognize and do it. But at the same time, we know that God is still good and he's still working those things for a purpose. So he's turning his heart around in it.
So I'm curious during that time, because it was obviously the beginning of several years of conflict and difficulty and those tense moments that happen, even when you do get to interact, it's almost like, am I going to say the wrong thing? Am I going to do the wrong thing? I used to be afraid to talk about God, but then it was so much a part of my DNA
Right.
that I couldn't not talk about Jesus. I couldn't not make a scriptural reference. I couldn't not mention glory to God. It was literally coming out of my mouth without me even thinking about it. And then people would get all mad and it's like, I guess I just don't need to talk. So what scriptures did you lean on? What scriptures carried you? Because there's going to be parents right now who are going to be listening to this And they're going to go, okay, well, how did you do it? Because I'm right where you used to be, and I need to know what carried you.
So, with the estrangement part, and not to sound cliche, but the story of the prodigal son was always in the forefront of our mind.
Yeah.
Because also alongside of that was Proverbs 22 and 16. If we train up a child in the way that they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. It doesn't mean that they won't stray, just like the prodigal's son did. And one thing that I come
Did you
to.
ever wonder how old is old?
Yeah, boy, we questioning and ask God, pleading with God, am I going to get to see this, play out? And but one thing that God instructed us through that scripture was, he said, okay, first, now stay in your identity in Christ. Just remain faithful to me. And just as the father did, the father didn't go chasing the son, right?
Yeah.
And but yet this, and this is what I wrote down this afternoon, was the father saw him afar off, so we can see him at a distance and see what they're getting into and things. But the Lord said, stay reachable and leave the door open, but don't go begging for them. Because if we go begging for their affection, then we'll end up in compromise. So I had to lean
Yeah.
on that he was going to return. He's going to get to the end of himself, because we trained him up. And maybe it's not, and maybe it's in a family that maybe isn't the best Christian setting, or maybe not even believers. But if we show our children love and we show them family throughout their younger years, they're going to miss it. And so they're going to come back. And so much more if we base it on the principle of God's word, and we, like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, aim them, then they're going to have the conviction inside of them that's going to miss that.
Yeah.
And then, one thing that we really, this was my go-to, and then Rose gave me one of hers, so I was going to share it too. But one of them that I held to so often was that, I was looking on my note, where I wrote it. Okay, right here. And so, basically, if we continue to believe God, and Isaiah says it this way, I will contend with those that contend with you, and I will save your children. And so I stayed on that. I continued to just plead and intercede with God. God, you said you're going to contend, because I know that the battle's not with them.
Yeah.
It's not against flesh and blood. So it wasn't against them. They didn't know what they were doing. They were just going by the flesh and senses. And so I hung to that one. I stayed on it, and I just kept hammering it to where, God, you're contending with all these forces that are dragging my children away from me.
Yeah, that's
Rose
good.
gave me this one, Hosea 14 and 4. She said the Lord gave that to her early on. It says, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. And she said, whenever God gave her that word, he said, if I've loved them freely, can you not love them freely as well? And love doesn't mean we justify their wrong behaviors, or concede
Yeah.
to their ways, but it means that we continue to show them love. And I don't know about you, but I know that two other things is, man, my peace would just be just tore up. And so
Yes.
I would go to Isaiah 26:3, and it said, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. And
Yes.
so God was telling us, you know, hey, don't let your emotions override your prayers, but keep your peace. And so,
And for those parents who are listening right now, or those family members who are experiencing this right now, I want to throw this out. There are going to be moments where you are standing strong and you're quoting the scripture to yourself. I used to have a pastor say, sometimes you got to put your own hand on your own head and bless your own self.
come on.
You can stand stalwart, you can stand strong, you can quote the word, but that does not mean that inside you're not going, that you're not crying and screaming and travailing in your heart. And it's okay to be transparent with God.
Yeah. Well, King David, the scripture says that David poured out his complaint before the Lord. God's a big God. He ain't scared of our emotions. Matter of fact, he beckons us to bring our emotions to him. So a lot of times when I would go and vent to God, and that's why we need to seek him in that secret places. When we vent out to him, he wants to hear our fears. He wants to hear our anger. He wants to hear our frustration. That's our outlet of emotion so that we don't internalize it or push it off on others around us. And I guarantee you, we had to go, and there would be nights we would just travail in prayer because our hearts were just broken for our kids, for our grandkids. And God says, I bottle up your tears. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so it was one of those things that we teach a lesson called tears of transformation. Those tears, when we express them back to God, those tears become like arrows of light because our emotions are tied to those. And then God comforts us, meaning that he brings relief and help. So I believe he assigns angelic messengers, and they began to work in the heavenlies towards our children. And whenever we grasped that, then it was one of those things that, hey, don't hold back your emotions, just know where to properly vent them.
So, how do you think that you grew during that season?
Probably the biggest thing that I evidenced or learned was another level of humility. God told me a couple of 3 years ago, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm like, yeah, they do, God. They know exactly what they're doing. They're blasting me on Facebook. They're doing this, they're doing
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. And he says, do you? Do I what? Do you vent? Do you rage in it? And I had to stop and think about it. So it was one of those places to come back and reposition in humility. Matter of fact, I can't, well, I'll save that till we get to the reunification part.
The word says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And it seemed to always really hit me in my car, and I'd be driving up and down the freeway at the top of my lungs. And when you're in pain, you don't always sing on key. And I was screaming the lyrics to It Is Well With My Soul,
Come on.
just almost like prophesying to myself, like, it is well with my soul. It is. And I would sing the lyrics over and over and over, and bless my heavenly Father, he took it. He took it. But I mean, I was a hot mess. I was like a screaming, crying hands. Well, I usually had one hand on the wheel, but hands in the air, like, all the ugly coming out while I'm trying to sing this hymn. And so that was rooted from my childhood. You talked about that scripture, raise up a child on the way he should go. In my most broken moments, the songs of worship that I went back to were the ones that this woman named Linda Trahan, she's still alive. She was my mother's friend, and she had a beautiful voice. And she lives in Beaumont, Texas now. And she sang all these old hymns, and I come to the garden alone, and all these old songs. And when I was hurting the most, those are the songs that would well up inside of me, and those are the lyrics that I would hear. And you would think it would be something more modern, but it wasn't. It was that those old things, from the past. So let's talk about the present, because some things changed recently.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, in January of 2025, one morning, Roz got up and she just told me, she said, "We're going to be reunited with our children this year." And, it was like, okay, I'm glad because she battled more because of the mama's heart. She battled more with the rejection of that. And I guess women, they cry where men get angry, right? And so they get depressed where men get into just a rage zone. And it was one of those things to see her be elated by that. And I was like, okay, yeah, I believe it, man. We're gonna believe that. And a couple of times throughout the year, she would remember that. And then it just didn't look like, as we got into October, it didn't look like nothing was changing. Our youngest had moved out and started it. He got his girlfriend pregnant, moved out, and wanted to start experiencing life himself. And it was like, okay. He was supposed to get married in October, and I kind of let it go as far as needing to be justified by them. She still felt like she needed an apology. And until they make it right with me, but still holding on to the fact that God told her we're going to be reunified. So she's thinking they're going to come and offer up this big apology. Well, our youngest was supposed to get married in October, and that fell apart. The date wasn't going to work out. And November came around. Well, during this whole time, we had sent messages of love to our children just to reassure them that no matter what, we love them. And at Thanksgiving, we got one of them to reply, "Happy Thanksgiving." And then on Christmas, we got a "Merry Christmas." That's all we got from one of the children. Our youngest, of course, stayed in contact. But it was one of those things that God was working behind the scenes. He pushed that wedding off until after the first of the year. Well, did God lie? Did Rose miss it? No. There was a transformation that had to take place in all of us. In us, I asked her after Thanksgiving, in between Thanksgiving and December, I said, do you have to be, and the word just went out of my brain, do you have to be right to be reconciled? And she says, "What do you mean?" I said, "I don't know. God just said that this morning. Do you have to be right to be reconciled?" And she goes, "So you mean I shouldn't expect an apology?" I said, "Have you forgiven him?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, then you shouldn't have an expectation that they have to meet something back to you." And right then she said, "You're right." And
That's one
she
of my favorite questions for people, like when they have an issue of forgiveness, is do you need to be right or righteous?
come on. Stay in your character.
Just if you're listening, just think about that question for a minute. If you have any conflict in your life right now, are you striving to be right when you should strive to be righteous?
Ooh, power.
Yeah. So keep going.
So after we prayed through on that, and she says, "Yeah, I release him, I let him go." Well, our youngest, it was almost Christmas, and he was like, "Hey, we want to get married the first weekend in January." And we were like, "Okay, cool. It may be cold, but okay." And so what we didn't know, Christmas Day, our youngest came over and spent time with us. Then he went over to his two brothers who regularly stay together, but they all had dinner. Didn't know this until after the wedding, but whenever we had the wedding, they showed up. They were at a distance, and I was an hour like, no, hey man, we ain't seen our kids in a long time. We're gonna go hug their necks. So we go hug their necks, and then that kind of broke the ice a little bit and said, hey, well, y'all move on up here. It's an outdoor wedding at the courthouse, out on the steps of the courthouse. But afterwards, we said, hey, we'd like to talk to you privately. And so we did, and we just told them, we said, hey, we miss you. And all of a sudden, the tears start flowing, right? And they were like, yeah, we miss you too. And said, look, the things of the past, we can forgive and move on. We just want relationship with you again. And they were like, we're so sorry. And it was like, okay, we want to squash it. So we thought that was great. We were talking about having a Sunday dinner after the following week. And then they told our youngest, hey, we want to meet with mom and dad. We have some things we want to talk out. And I was like, okay, did this revert? No, we're holding to this promise. And so they come over, and of course, Rose and I prayed before they got here. We prayed over the door, even when the one that they would be coming through. And they came in. I saw them walking down the sidewalk, and they were kind of macho walking, kind of tough guys. But they got to the door, and when they come in, it was like I saw a shift. It was like they weren't these big burly men. They were my little boys. They came in, sat down, and we had some formality and talk. And then after that, we said, well, what is it that you'd like to really talk about? And one of them turns to the other one, well, you go first, because I don't really remember what I was going to talk about. So God had shifted their mind whenever they came in.
Right.
And at the next, and the one that had the most grievance with God and the church and us, and was kind of one spearheading their distance, he was like, we all have said some things, and us especially, that we didn't really mean, and it was hurtful. We just like to be able to move on. He wouldn't use the word forgiveness. I said, well, I think we can forgive all things, and love will, see us together. And they were like, that's what we want. So we talked to them for about an hour and a half, and then they asked if they could invite their younger brother Joy on, and their girlfriends soon to all be wives. So they all came over. They actually bought dinner for us, everyone. And
Isn't
then
that nice?
what they didn't know was Rose and I had purposely gotten their favorite cakes. They like two different cakes, tres leches and red velvet. So we got them each a personal cake. Because they had celebrated some milestones. One had been promoted to a GM in a business, and the other one a lead at the post office. And we hadn't been able to celebrate with them in years. And we brought those cakes out. When we did, again, it wasn't like we were looking at our two older boys. You could see our 3 or 4 year old boys sitting there just elated at the cake and just smiling. And
Yeah.
from that time on, I mean, we've had two other family dinners with them, one last Sunday even, and everything has been peaceable. And the thing that we didn't know was during Christmas, Jadon then told us at that first dinner, he said, yeah, y'all didn't know this, but at Christmas, Aaron was saying he wanted to be reunited with you and mom. And then they had this big discussion of why. And said, because even though we don't need their validation, we want it.
Wow.
And I was like, and then last Sunday, then they both said that it means a lot that y'all are still proud of us, even though we did some pieces of stupid. And, it didn't happen at the end of the year, but what God told me whenever we knew that it was happening at the first, he said, because he'd already set this whole year up, and he said, this is a season of the pomegranate where it's going to be sweet with multiple blessings. And to start off our year with the reunification of our family was something we've been preaching and teaching at the close of the year into this year, was what God is about to do is he's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, so that he can bring back the family unit. Satan tried to destroy it, but God says, hey, it's mine. I have been contending for them. I have been
Right.
watching over and preserving them, and I am returning them and causing their hearts to want to be part of my structure again.
Right. So are they walking with the Lord?
No, not well, let me put it this way, not the way that I would want. Okay.
But they're working out their own salvation.
And
Would that be a correct way to see it?
that's what I'm seeing, because Michael, who even claimed to be atheist, our older of the twin by 5 minutes, he claimed to be atheist, and yet he still will pray with us. He has both of them, their girlfriend, fiancés, they started going to church about a year ago. So
That's awesome.
it's amazing that God takes the things that they that attract them, and now he's pulling them back to him. And though their lifestyle's not might not be where I want them,
Yeah, they're
they
in
are
process.
acknowledging it.
Yeah, I wasn't here when I started either.
Exactly. Was a distorted
Right. And so, for anyone listening, I just want to encourage you that sometimes God uses the most unexpected ways and the most unexpected things, and he has his own way of doing things that's so much more beautiful than us fixing our mess. You know, because we really don't fix anything. We just mess it up some more. And I love what you said about love, because that's one of the things that I have found, not just in my family, but in other families, is that we say clichéically, love conquers all, you know, that love takes care of everything. But it really does. And I want to read something to you, Pastor Duane. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I want to read it to you and get your reaction. Okay. This is about the fruits of the spirit, because sometimes when we get in these situations, we've dumped the whole fruit basket out on somebody. We don't have any fruits left, right? Because you're like, ah.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm more, you're this cool dude. And I'm like that emotional mama. I was a mess. Okay. But this is what I learned. So just to cover, the fruits of the spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay. Love is the most important, because love, of course, is that selfless love. It's unconditional. But once we've moved into that love, then we can have joy, which is love exalted. Then we can have peace, which is love at rest. Then we can have patience, which is love tested. Then we can have kindness, which is love on display, goodness, which is love becoming known or, you know, getting out there in the world, faithfulness, which is love that is stretched, gentleness, which is love in training, and self-control, which is love that has conquered.
Yeah, come on.
I cannot take credit for that list.
It's good. Now,
do you like it?
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. I think it's very rich if we just dwell on those things, but it really is about love. And here's what I've learned, Pastor Drainey. You tell me if you found the same thing. Even when you want to pinch their heads off, trade them in for a better model, and don't, I know that there are parents thinking the same thing. Like, are you sure these children were not switched at birth? Like, is this one really mine? But when we ask the Father, can you show me how to love them? The cakes are a perfect example. A perfect example. It's this tiny little thing. They think that they've driven, that they're such a wedge, because we're coming often from a Christ side, and very oftentimes they're not. And so we will go to the Father, you give me anything. If they want pink sandpaper, I will give them pink sandpaper. You know, I don't know why I said that. It's, I've never seen pink sandpaper, but I'm just saying, like, you just go to the Father and you ask, what can I do that is completely unique, completely God created, to show them that I love them? And for your boys, it was their favorite cake. And I'm sure it was many other things along the way, but it's just this beautiful thing that God puts in us. And it goes so much further than we could have. Who would have thought that refined sugar could go so far?
Come on. And love covers a multitude of sin, right? So love covers it. In other words, it's like the
and
blood.
I would just like to put a caveat on that. Unconditional love.
Unconditional. Agape.
My God, yes. Yes, because there are some people out there like, I will love you if, I will love you when, I will love you if, blah, 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 blah. And no, that's not unconditional love.
Well, check this out, because Michael, the one that's a postman, his route just happened to be, whenever we were going through this, it just happened to be down Hillside where Rose's daycare is at. So in the nice days where they could be outside with the kids, she would see him. She would get to see him walking his route. Well, he may not have wanted to hear it at the time, but she would scream at the top of her voice, "Michael, Mama loves you." One time he looked and waved, and she said that kind of gave her heart, you know, hope. And then the rest of the time, it was like, you know, you could kind of feel that he kind of shuddered and he walked quickly on by. But love covered a multitude of that sin, and love conquers all.
Yeah.
And so in that, then what we found was, even with her saying that, just saying that, then she broke down that hatred that was in his heart. And so much of the time, you know, like you said, love and self-control are the bookends that hold all that other together. And the self-control is, again,
well, that's like, good. The bookends that hold all that. I like that. I'm going to steal that, Pastor Twain.
Because otherwise it's going to just run out. And it always amazed me that people think, well, self-control, that's something that I have to do. No, it's still a fruit. When I surrender to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, Self-control will hold the goodness, the kindness, the meekness, the gentleness. One of the things that I had to learn, because I was kind of a fiery evangelist, and I think sometimes I brought that home. And so my loud, coarse voice kind of bled over into the family. And now God has really poured into me kind of more gentleness. I think that's why he gave me four granddaughters. Because,
They will make a pawpaw a sucker, won't they?
oh, big time. And that was one of the things that it just seemed like that, whenever I was with those girls, and it was just one of those things that I had to be more gentle and soft because they would get
Yes,
scared.
they will soften you. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Pastor Dwayne, I want to give you an opportunity. If there is anything that you could say to families who are experiencing this painful brokenness right now, that they don't get to see their children or grandchildren, that they won't take their calls, they won't accept their emails, that they reject gifts, they reject any kind of communication, what would you say to them?
Don't give up hope. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life." So here's how I frame hope. Hope is a confident expectation of a determined outcome based on a promise by a God who cannot lie, who will fulfill what he has said. He has already talked to us about that if we ask and seek and knock, that he's going to hold us together. Yeah, it's going to hurt. He hears, he bottles up our tears, he keeps them and uses them for warfare against the assignment of our legacy. Don't give up hope. Hope is one of the things. It's not just a wishful thinking, but it is expectancy for God to reveal himself. He
That's good.
will. He will come through. We've seen him in many other instances, but this one I think was even more challenging than the cancer and the finances, because this we poured into for years. So keep. And the other thing is this: when you're going through it, don't be afraid to I want to say it this way, enlist in war. Let some of those emotions fuel you for prayer, so that you're
Okay.
warring against those things. You see the spirit of division. Bind that thing and loose it. Loose the very unity of God in and over it, and
Nice.
expect God to do exactly what he said.
That's good.
And
That's
know
good.
that he literally, we just finished Mountaintop Messages, the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The end result of our mourning is not dismal, but it is a comfort and a turnaround. And God is in the season of turnarounds now. And from my heart to our audience is this: I've noticed it over the years, whatever God begins doing in my life and my family and in the ministry that he's entrusted me to, is that whenever he does it for me, he begins to do that on a larger spectrum. So I believe that our family reunification was just the beginning of a movement throughout this year and onward. It's just a ripple effect of what God wants to do for all those that cry
That's
out to him.
right. Because we're testimonies. We can say that our families are back together and we have those big family dinners. Even though there were many times we didn't,
Yeah.
we can now say that we do have those.
Thank you, Jesus.
And yes, and it's all because of Jesus. So Oh my gosh, this has been so great. Pastor Duane, thank you for joining me.
Thank
Before
you.
we leave, I would love for you to pray us out and pray over those broken families while they are in the process of waiting for the redemption and for their families to come back together again.
Certainly, and thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Always a pleasure to get with you guys. And you're so much fun. And so, but yeah, let's pray.
Yeah.
Most precious Abba, I thank you for being a good daddy. You're the father who consoles us in our grief. And Father, I just pray over families today, Lord God, that are estranged from their children, and where offenses have been the tactic of Satan to use it against the family structure. I first want to bind that spirit of division. I command you to cease and desist, that all your works right now just be null and void. That right now, as we proclaim the love of God, the goodness and the favor of God that draws men unto salvation, the love that covers a multitude of sin. Right now, Father, we just, in unity and harmony of the Spirit, Lord God, we just release that over every mom, over every dad, over every child, over every grandparent. And right now, Father, I thank you that you came to save the brokenhearted. Jesus, you came to bind up the wounds of our emotions. And so right now, I thank you that where there is grief and where there is resentment, that Lord God, right now, there just becomes a calming peace. And Father, I just thank you that where it seems like, when, Lord, when is the answer going to come, Lord? Though it tarry, Lord God, I just speak strength, resilience, and endurance into every parent heart, Lord God. And right now, Father, that the joy of your love, Lord God, that even stretches and strengthens their faith, Lord God, will just be a breath. You said weeping endures for a moment, joy comes in the morning. Lord God, I just ask you to cause the sun to shine on a new day.
Yes.
Lord God, where hope and expectancy meets fulfilled answers, Lord. You're a good God that does not withhold. And so I thank you, Lord, that you turn every heart of the parent to the child to the parent. And Lord God, it is you ultimately who has reunified us into your family. And as your family, Lord, I just declare today that you reunify. Lord, what is broken, that it may now become whole. And for it, Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for all your love and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Duane. Is there a way that you would like for people to contact you if they would like to?
Certainly, you can reach out to me. I'll give you my personal email. I'll even give you my phone number. I don't care because
No, let's
all
just do the email.
right, because hey, man, we most of our stuff's out there, even on social media. So,
And I can put your email in the comments,
perfect.
and so people can reach out to you. And he is such a great counselor and such a great man of God. And he's a little fringe. He's a biker, and he's not exactly a clean-shaven pastor. And so I love him that way. And He is a very, very, very wonderful man. And his wife, Rose, is just a delight. They are precious to me. So, Pastor Dwayne, again, thank you very much for being on Battle Plan with Broken Families. And I will see you next time when we talk more about broken families and what God is doing to bring them into redemption.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.